Hi, welcome to Cover to Cover. I'm Mark DeWitt. Today we have the New York Times best-selling author, Lisa Gardner. She's got a brand new book. It's Love You More. She's also the New York Times best-selling author of Live to Tell. Lisa, welcome.
Thank you very much, Mark.
All right, Love You More. Right off the bat here, we've got a fantastic hook. There's a murder.
That's true. One of the fun things about writing this novel is that it is a starts out as a homicide investigation that wraps up very quickly into the search for a missing little girl. Love You More opens with my return of my detective, Dee Dee Warren, who has been called the scene of a homicide. A fellow female officer is admitting that she shot and killed her husband, and she has the black and blue marks on her face to prove that he was beating her at the time. But she's not really answering their questions. In particular, she's not cooperating with where is their six-year-old child. Now Dee Dee must race against the clock to solve a homicide and locate a missing girl.
All right, now with anything like this where another cop, or in this case it's a state trooper, that's involved in an investigation like this,
yes,
they can't be just talking about everything.
Yes, it's one of the fun things I had researching the novel is what is the procedures that go into place if you're a police officer accused of committing the crime. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of good protections there for police officers involved, including with their union reps, and the union will even pay for a lawyer to help defend them, not to mention that cops kind of know the inner workings of investigations very well, and that fine line of what you should say and that right to remain silent, which Tessa Leone, the trooper involved, is evoking pretty much all of the time.
There is a kind of a blue wall there, isn't there?
Isn't
there like the police are on one side, and maybe the community people on the other of this?
Well, and even police officer to police officer, in this case, you have a state trooper who's accused of a crime. Obviously, the state police cannot investigate their own. So the jurisdiction falls to the Boston police, because that's where Tessa Leone lived, was within their jurisdiction. And all of a sudden, you have the state troopers forming that blue wall against their brethren, their fellow detectives, and the Boston police force.
With this book, Love You More, how much research did you have to do with that to find out if something like this would happen, what would be the next step?
Well, as a suspense novelist, my favorite part's the research. I feel my job overall is typing a lot, which isn't terribly interesting. But getting to spend 3 months out of the year and going to talking to people that have the coolest jobs on the planet. You know, for Love You More, I researched with female uniformed officers because I knew detectives, but not what it's like to be a patrol officer. I spent time in jail, which becomes relevant for the book. I spent time
hopefully in a good way.
Yes, let's say that. I spent time at the Body Farm in Knoxville, Tennessee, which was one of my favorite places. I've always wanted to do research, and I got to spend some time learning how search and recovery dogs, the canine teams, work. So the research, hands down, is the best part of the process.
Well, you know, the Body Farm, that must have been a little gory in some parts.
I loved the Body Farm.
Did you?
I don't know what normal 40-year-old women want to do, but I have spent years dying to go to the Body Farm.
Was there like, kind of describe the smells in the scene, if you will.
I didn't know how I would take that. I have seen a lot of crime scene photos of my time. I've spent 20 years now as a suspense novelist. I spend a lot of time with law enforcement. It's part of the job. I'm pretty decent looking at pictures of things, but I didn't know actually seeing real decomposing remains, what would that be like? And it wasn't as easy. I would never make light of it, but you do find that this is a puzzle, this is a process, and you're there to learn about the process and to be very respectful of what you're seeing. And they have that right approach, I think, at the Body Farm. These people donated their remains for the good of science, to help advance our understanding. You know, professionals come there to learn how to properly disinter remains, to preserve evidence, which is extremely important in a homicide investigation. I went there with a key book question. I thought this was a good question. I had fun researching it while I was there. This is kind of how my brain works. If you wanted to hide remains, one, where would you hide them that they would not be readily found? Two, what could you do so that when those remains were inevitably found, as what might happen if, say, there was a statewide search for something, how could you make it so those remains were not easily and readily identifiable? And I thought, having not done my homework, that the answer would be fire. You'd burn a skeleton, right? So I went to the body farm with a question and with an assumption of the answer. And one of the things they had at the body farm, which I did not know, is they have an entire collection of cremated remains. And I watched this forensic anthropologist reach into this box and pull out this knuckle-sized fist of cremated bone. It looks like coral, like dried sponge at that point. And looking just at that, she could tell me the gender, the occupation, and I swear to God, the person's dental floss. So I'm like, fire is not my answer. But I think I came up with a really good one.
So what does it take to be a forensic scientist that might work on a body farm?
A lot of years of study, and it's amazing. I mean, I really didn't understand how much our bones give away about us. I mean, I just really didn't understand that there are ridge lines that are left behind that show what heavy musculature is, and that helps with guessing occupations. The length, different bone lengths, the density of bones. There are certain things that are indicators of age, some that are indicators of gender, a lot that are indicators of occupation. I mean, I just never in my wildest dreams thought that you could look at a skeleton and within 30 seconds. And this is a test this forensic anthropologist gives most of her students. So it's not just her. For people to pass the course, they need to be able to look at a burned bone and tell you those pieces of information. So one of the things I often find doing research as a suspense novelist is real life is way stranger than fiction. And I only wish I could use some of these things, but my readers would sit there and go, no way, she's cheating. That can't be done.
Well, he is working in the docks on the Pacific.
Yeah.
How can you tell? Well, there's a sailor hat there.
Yeah.
Okay. Love You More, your brand new book. Of course, you bring back your lead character in this, Dee Dee Warren.
Yes.
And who is Dee Dee Warren? When did she evolve with you into books?
Love You More is Detective Dee Dee Warren's fifth novel, but the books are standalone. If people find them out of order, that's fine. They won't have any problem reading them. She's a fun character for me because she started as a walk-on part. I'd written a sniper novel alone, which this week is number one on the New York Times ebook bestseller list, and just needed a Boston cop for a single scene. And she was so aggressive, so funny, and just so ballsy, for lack of a better word, that I was like, I have to do more with this character. I consider her everyone's alter ego. She's that character that says all the things you would never say, does all the things you would never do. And I joke, if you're female, she eats all the things that you'll never be allowed to eat. So she's a lot of fun to write about. And she takes her job very seriously. And she is a woman who prides herself on always getting her man.
In Love You More, she has to work alongside a love interest from way back. Tell me about him.
Yes, well, Bobby Dodge, the sniper from the first novel, Alone, returns. And he's married now and he has a child. They were lovers once. She says, you know, she let him go, but then she never quite got over him. And as this book becomes more intense, and there's a couple times when Dee Dee's own life is in danger, Bobby's response to that makes you wonder if things have truly run their course.
Of course, we get to know somebody else, a lady who has gone through the things she has to do to become a state trooper. You have to be almost beat up, in a sense, to become a state trooper, don't you?
One of the things I thought was really interesting was researching Tessa Leone, who is the female state trooper in Love You More. I think she's remarkable in many ways. You can identify with her. She was a high school dropout. She ended up pregnant. She's trying to figure out how to make a living for herself and her daughter with no marketable skills. And she gets her GED, and then she stumbles upon this plan that if she can become a state trooper, she'll have benefits. She can work at night. She has an elderly neighbor who's willing to help her with her daughter during the day, and that this is her chance to carve out a life. And when you learn the training she had to do, I mean, for one thing, she had to start by being away from her daughter, for 6 weeks when her daughter was still an infant. And as a woman, to go through particularly the hand-to-hand combat training is really, really intense. It's one thing to think, you know, I can be a trooper. It's another thing to try to beat up someone and to stand there and take a beating as part of your training. And I think those scenes and starting to understand what it really means to be a state trooper, and most jurisdictions anymore, everyone patrols alone. You know, women, men, it doesn't matter. You're a lot of time all on your own. The number one call any police officer gets is situation unknown. By the opening of the book, she's still early 20s. She's pretty. She's small. And she's going to be asked to control any situation she comes into. I mean, what does it take to be able to do that?
Of course, being kind of small, I mean, there is kind of a weight and height restriction sometimes on most troopers, or is there?
Yes. Well, she had to meet the physical fitness requirements. So, and there's, I mean, a certain weight you need to have. And, I mean, she's strong. She's tough. But, boy, the woman I went out and patrolled with a female officer one night, and she was just the petitest thing. But I have to say, that's somewhat the uniform is. And there's a great scene where Tessa Leone talks about how the uniform really transforms you. When you put on that body armor and you've just added a good 30 pounds to your frame, and you've made yourself wider and you've made yourself thicker and bulkier. And in particular, the hat. You know, you take that hat and you pull it down, and it's like a superhero donning a costume. You look less human now. You look more like an authority figure. And good troopers use that. I mean, you want to be cueing the other party to respond appropriately, to take the submissive.
Well, Lisa, you know, with your research that you've done, you know, on television we see people that hijack cars, jack cars, I guess,
yeah.
And maybe they crash, they take off from the officers. These officers, according to Love You More, they're wearing, like, just a whole lot of things. I mean,
yeah.
The poundage with the body armor, the gun, the baton, everything
else.
The
duty belts. The duty belts are very heavy.
How do they chase these people down?
Well, at that point, you're on your radio. Again, you're always alone. In fact, police officers, and I found this interesting, their backup anymore is dispatch. In this day and age of tight budgets, your wingman is actually the person on the other end of the radio. And Tessa talks about that somewhat. You're just in constant contact with dispatch. I mean, you go to P, dispatch knows about it. And dispatch is constantly looking to be in touch with officers because, again, there's no partner to alert if there's trouble. It's more like you check in with an officer. If they don't check back, that becomes a signal within the organization there's trouble. So really a good part of being a trooper also is being in touch with radio, knowing when to call backup, knowing when to have bravado, and when to have radio.
Lisa, with the book Love You More, what was the motivation behind this story?
Of all the novels I've written, Love You More is the most personal. It is really at its essence, and hence the title Love You More, what it means to be a parent. And in this case, it's what does it mean to be a parent who is a police officer, who is professionally trained in hand-to-hand combat, firearms, and my personal favorite scene, the K-bar knife, and just how far you would go if someone threatened your family. Tessa Leone, we learn at the opening of this novel, has done everything to build a life for her child. Then she marries a man she thinks is going to be happily ever after. And by page 12, you realize all of that blew up. Something went terribly, terribly wrong in this family. And it's now up to Dee Dee Warren to figure out what all these secrets are, and for Tessa Leone to finish playing out a very, very careful game if everyone wants to get Sophie Leone back alive.
If you're just tuning in, this is Cover to Cover. I'm Mark DeWitt. We're talking with Lisa Gardner, author of her brand new book, Love You More. Also the New York Times bestselling author of Live to Tell. Live to Tell, probably the last book out right now in softcover?
Live to Tell is currently available in paperback, yes, and in ebooks.
All right, tell me a little bit about Live to Tell.
Live to Tell was the previous novel for Dee Dee Warren, and it has to do with entire families are being annihilated in Boston. A family annihilation is when a father kills his wife and children and then himself. And one is tragic, but they get to be multiples in a row, which raises the question, what's really going on? Is there a pattern behind this in Boston? And the answers may lay in a locked down pediatric psych ward, where it turns out every family has a connection back to that singular unit, and a nurse who 20 years ago, her own family wasn't murdered, and she's the only one who lived to tell.
So you can actually go back. Is it in the DNA, perhaps, or is it in is it nurture or nature?
Yeah. I think that's a question every parent asks themselves sooner or later. Is it nurture or nature? And one of the things I really like about Love You More is you see a parent really, she's going to go to the ends of the earth for her child. And I think it's an interesting book because I started with some dark research. I actually started by researching the Kaylee Anthony case in Florida, which is the 4-year-old girl who has allegedly been murdered by her mother. And I guess as a parent, I was trying to figure out, could a mother really do such a thing? And at the end of the day, maybe I just couldn't go there. And I really thought, no, at the end of the day, most mothers, most fathers would go to the ends of the earth for their child. And in comparison to Live to Tell You, which is a little bit more issue-oriented book, I think of Love You More as more of that fun fantasy novel that every parent in the middle of the night has thought about. If someone harmed my child or there was a threat to my family, what would I do? Except in the case of Tessa Leone, she has years of training and access to some really great toys to back up all those things that, yes, we would really would like to do.
Well, you know, when you were doing your research and you talked about the ladies, women
yes.
that kill their own,
yeah.
did you happen to interview any of these people to kind of get into their heads?
I've never interviewed felons. Some of them find me. I get a lot of mail from the Department of Corrections.
Asking for money.
No, they want nude photos, actually. Oh. Are you volunteering, Mark? Because they don't really specify who, I suppose.
It'd be a book of comedy, I guess, if that was the case.
I mean, I've written several novels with prison break scenes, so I can see why maybe as novelists go, I would be popular in the Department of Corrections set. And I got to spend more time in jail researching Love You More, so I'm continuing with my streak of encapsulating prison life. But so some of them write to me, and I get pieces of the story that way. And I mean, I think the criminal mind is in its own way fairly predictable. It's never their fault. They're extenuating circumstances. They're the victim. I mean, I think the number one thing you get from reading these things is they're the victim.
Well, you know, some of them might be, but with DNA testing and everything, what do you think of all that?
I'm not sure. The actually more interesting test I read, and I'm not a scientist, but I thought it was interesting, is they did a study years ago, and one of the key differentials they found among male inmates was they tested abnormally high in heavy metals, like mercury and iron, and and they talked about certain poor regions of the country where the drinking water has a lot of issues, and you also see a lot of violence. I mean, I think there's a lot more to it, and I think one of the things that drives me as a suspense novelist is what is the nature of evil. And I think most likely at the end of the day, there's a multitude of factors, which means I'll always have plenty of novels to write.
So when they test for these heavy metals, it's not like Iron Maiden and Kiss and other things.
That's just if you play them backwards.
Okay, kids beware.
Yeah.
You know, I never thought of this. I wonder how many other authors that write either the murder mysteries, thrillers, actually get a lot of emails and letters from people behind bars.
I think my favorite was I had done an article for Writer's Digest, so it showed behind me some of the resources I use. And I think maybe because I had done my very first suspense novel, in particular, Perfect Husband, starts with a serial killer breaking out of prison. And then in Love You More, Tessa Leone is incarcerated at a certain point, and she's planning ahead and how to get out of prison too. So, and he wanted to know if I could point to him exactly which book in that picture showed how to get out of prison, because he wanted to order it. And that was the letter he sent me. And I'm like, well, I'm thinking right now they don't read prison mail nearly as much as they should. That's my first thought. But I did not provide that information. As a suspense novelist, I only provide fiction. I try not to give people any real, real tools for breaking out of prison.
Yeah, plus you want them to, you know, buy all the books anyway.
That's right. Apparently, as long as they're incarcerated, they're a good, loyal reading audience. I'm not turning them loose on the world yet. I can't afford the loss in sales.
With Love You More, we find an Amber Alert being issued for a little girl that should have been with her father, who apparently, it looks like, maybe had a drinking problem. The mother, either getting ready to go to work or getting home.
Yeah.
How much research did you have to do on missing kids, and what was that research like?
The information on missing kids is fairly well disseminated now on the internet. You know, you can go to the website for the Center for Missing and Exploited Children, especially Amber Alerts. It's something they want us all to understand. I thought one of the interesting things to do for Love You More is it really deals with a lot of themes. And one of them is, if you are a female police officer, I mean, do you really get a shot at domestic happiness? And it's something that Dee Dee Warren at the beginning of the book is actually wrestling with as well. She is facing a major life change at the opening of this book. And somewhat this themed women who do really well in a man's world, who carry sidearms as part of their job, what is the toll that takes on their marriage? And I think there's a very haunting line from Tessa Leone in the book when she starts to realize the man she married and fell in love with isn't everything she wanted him to be and maybe isn't good for her and isn't good for her child. But she can't help but wondering, you know, would he be a different kind of husband if she were a different kind of wife? You know, what's it like to be the husband to when the woman wears the gun in the family?
Of course, Tessa's husband, Brian.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gone for like a few months and he's back home for several
months.
He's
a merchant marine, and that was fun to research as well. Both of them have difficult jobs. I mean, Tess has gone on graveyard and won't necessarily be home on time. It depends how the shift goes if you're a cop. And Brian has the schedule as a merchant marine. He runs this oil tankards, and they're going from California to Alaska and back. I'm sorry, from Washington to Alaska and back, where he ships out for 60 days, essentially, then is home 60 days. And that has its own kind of erosion on the marriage, too. They don't really get a pattern. You know, most married people, especially with a child, you get your dynamics now. And they never get to settle into routine. There is no routine. That's their routine. And that takes its own toll. And what's it like when he comes back for his 60 days and he's now worked 24/7 and he doesn't want to work 24/7 and she, you know, heaven help her, was hoping that he'd come home and mow the yard. I mean, I don't think either one of them is evil. They're just two people in a very complicated marriage. And one of the themes I like to explore a lot in my writing is, you know, from the distance, everyone's life looks happy, and you could look at this family. You know, they make a pretty decent living between the two of them. They have this cute little house in Boston. They have the adorable little daughter. They have this huge backyard, this beautiful German shepherd, the white picket fence. This is the family the neighbors would look at and go, oh, if only we were them. And then when you get to know this family, oh, they're not having a good time at all.
You know, Dee Dee goes into the house. She wants to get a sense of feel of what happened in this house.
Yes.
And as they're looking, she's got quite the eye for spotting different things on maybe was this bedroom perhaps more male, more female?
Yeah.
Here's the kids' room. How do you do something like that to work it so you can have an eye like that?
I think the really great detectives, they're not people of action. They're people of analytics, and they're powerful observations. And one of the things Dee Dee's starting to understand from the very beginning when she's called to this homicide scene is this is a domestic situation. I mean, who did what to whom still needs to be worked out. But either way, and she makes this observation, and a house this cute and charming, there are so many things that could have gone right, but here's the husband dead on the floor with 3 to the chest. So what is the thing that went so terribly wrong? And so for her personally walking the scene, what she's trying to understand are the dynamics. And it is the observation, like the master bedroom doesn't look like a room. There's no pictures on the wall. It's not warm and cozy. It looks like all his furniture, not hers. And yet then when you go to the child's bedroom, 6-year-old Sophie's, it's beautiful murals. It's well decorated. It has the cute bedding. So you can see that they definitely both poured love into the child. But everywhere else in the house just has the sense of two people that lived together but hadn't made a home. So what does that start to tell you now about the marriage, about these people, about the situation that had left, you know, one bruised and battered and the other dead on the kitchen floor?
Love You More, the book, not really described over the top, just the right amount of description in this just to keep you going. Have you always done that, or maybe some of the first books, did you over-describe things?
I would think as I've been a suspense novelist for 20 years now, and I'm getting leaner, because I think we are all getting, I think our attention spans are shorter. Well, I have to say, I write the kind of book I'd like to read, and I think like a lot of Americans out there, I'm a working parent, there's way too many things to do all hours of the day, and it's like 9 o'clock at night before I finally get to sit down and be entertained. And frankly, I do want someone dying or something exploding or something happening right away, or I am going to fall asleep.
Love You More, your brand new Dee Dee Warren book. You have another series with another character?
Yes, I've also written 5 books for the FBI Profiler family. If people would like to go to my website, lisagardner.com, they can see overviews of both series. And while you're there, and this is for you too, Mark, you should definitely enter my Kill a Friend, Maim a Buddy sweepstakes. We are still taking recommendations for the person of your choice to die in my next novel. A lot of fun. A gift for the person who has everything. Literary immortality.
Wow. Well, that sounds pretty exciting.
If you're having a bad day, the boss isn't treating you right, the spouse forgot to pick up the kids, LisaTheGardner.com. Kill a friend, maim a buddy. We're there for you.
Can I have more than one?
You have to pick one. One to die. Or maim.
Well, you know, not only that, do we see this contest on your website. What else do we see? I mean, I'm sure we can find out if we're in a different city, you're going to be there. We can kind of...
This is my first day of book tour. I am on my way to Dayton, Ohio. I'm very excited. And yes, so this is the first day Love You More is on sale, but it's also, I have 10 more cities to hit. So if you'd like to visit LisaGardner.com, or I'm on Facebook as well, you can see the other cities and the tour. There's also the monthly contest where you can win signed novels. We have some really great videos up right now, including some that talk about Love You More. And we have, you know, if you're interested in writing, there's a lot of articles on the website on how to get published, the craft of writing. You know, we all have to start somewhere, and it is a tricky business.
Well, there you go. All right. Well, the book is Love You More. What's next for Dee Dee, or have you thought that far?
She's going to return next year. She now has a baby, so her life is progressing. She's trying to figure out, what does that mean? How do you be a mother and a homicide detective? And complicating her life is, a young girl has appeared claiming she will be murdered in 4 days. And she has Googled Dee Dee, and understanding she's the best homicide detective in Boston, she'd like Dee Dee to take the case.
Wow, how about that? Love You More, of course, out right now in hardcover. Author of Live to Tell. What was your last book that's in softcover?
Live to Tell is currently in paperback. And before that, The Neighbor, which won Best Hardcover of the Year from the International Thriller Writers. And that is still available out there as well.
And congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you very much.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Cover to Cover. I'm Mark DeWitt, along with Lisa Gardner, author of Love You More. Oh, what a hook on this first one. There's a murder. Did the wife do it? It sure looks like it. Well, what happened to the kid here? There's an Amber Alert. I mean, are we going to find this little child still with us? Well, you're going to have to get the book, Love You More, and find out the answers to all those questions. Lisa, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much, Mark.
Been listening to Cover to Cover. I've been your host, Mark DeWitt, along with Lisa Gardner, author of her brand new book, Love You More. Questions and concerns may be addressed to 2045 Gilbert Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45202.